This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, welcome again. It's the last day here. And jazakumullah khair for being an amazing audience actually. It's one of the best audience I've been talking to. Very tentative, no, yeah, you deserve it. That's not for me, that's for you, alhamdulillah. You're very tentative, you're engaging, your questions. So I decided, and with an apology to the organizers, to do the same theme we did yesterday. So I'll cover the whole topic in the first session, and in the second session we'll do questions and answers. Questions and answers teaches a lot, actually. Number one, the more you ask with the intention, as we talked about yesterday, intention, with the intention of learning, not intention, don't you ever ask because you want to be heard, you want to show yourself, you want to tell people, I know. Or even worse, and sometimes I see this, alhamdulillah, I haven't seen it with myself, but I see it with others, is when you ask to basically embarrass the speaker, or to show that you know more than the speaker, or to prove the speaker is wrong. This is all not for Allah. Rather, when you ask, ask yourself before you ask why you are asking. But in general, asking questions is one of the best ways of learning. And this is why you see, even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, many times, what did he say? ويسألونك. They ask you. They ask you about menstruation. They ask you about money. They ask you about the sacred month. Why they were asking? Because they want to learn. Before I start, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You got used to me by now, right? Alhamdulillah. All right, if you're always going to ask us, but this time is an easy one. How many of you, when I see hands, know Jannah Institute? Ah, we didn't do a good job. We, meaning the team. It's, if you look on my right side, you see the one in between. So you see Faith Event, and then you see, I hope I'm saying it right, Kafia, is that right? Alhamdulillah. Then you see in between, that's Jannah Institute. And Jannah Institute is actually a woman education institute. It's woman to woman. Just quickly, I'll give you an idea. Why is that? 2010, I still remember the time, which I normally don't. I have a very bad memory. But alhamdulillah, this one, I remember I was in Aqidah class, studying in Jeddah. And this was my first time being taught by women only. Like I was taught in women in medicine, but not Islamic studies. Because in the States, we're all men. So I remember I was sitting there, and she was an amazing teacher, and it was a beautiful discussion. Something in my mind went, and I said, how many women live in the West can do what I am doing right now? It's very difficult, right? You leave everything, and then just pack, and then go. That's not possible for many, many women for many reasons, even those who are really interested. So I actually asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And I didn't know any, of course Allah listened. This is also for the question one of you asked yesterday. And I was like, I wish I can do this in the States. And this is how Jannah Institute was born. It, later on, of course, 3 years later, it was born completely by coincidence. I was still studying, group of us women get together. And they said, let's do it. I said, you go and take care of all the logistics. There's a lot of logistics to start an institute in the United States. And then I'll start teaching. Long story short, 2017, when I finished and returned back, we start doing short courses. And alhamdulillah, we were, and you'll be surprised, we actually did online before COVID. We used Zoom, where nobody knew what Zoom is. I remember when I met the founder, I was like, what is this behind him? It was a picture of New York. And I was like, he doesn't live in New York, right? Now everybody knows, you know, the green screen, the backdrop, that's what he had. Anyway, so alhamdulillah, so when COVID hit, for us was not a big deal because we already had it. And actually COVID, and again, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. You may dislike something, and Allah put in it a lot of khair. And you all know how much COVID brought khair, as much as, unfortunately, a lot of death and loss and all this. So anyway, number of the students tripled. Because now women believe, I wouldn't say women, we as human believed that we can learn online. We had our doubts before, right? But then we had no choice. Children, they had either don't learn or learn. So we started, walillahi alhamd wal minna. Now, alhamdulillah, and then 2021 is when I start, when I decide I'm going to, you know, the dream I had, I'm going to do it. So we started our full-time course. It's a 1 year, it's a 9 months actually. Whatever is called year of knowledge, what every Muslim woman should know. We do not graduate scholars. You know why? Because we need every one of you to know her deen. Because very few people can be scholars and very few people have access to scholars. But you need to know your deen as a mother, as a daughter, as a wife. So we decided only five topics, the basics, but we teach traditional books, but in a modern way. And it's all practical. What does it mean? I mean, if you have any taken any course with me, you will not hear but this. What does that mean to you? In living in Malaysia or living in the States in the 2023, what does it mean? So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we finished 2 years. We have more than 150 students. And the reason 150, because we capped it. We have 1,000 students on the waiting list. Yeah, subhanAllah, I couldn't believe it when they told me. I was like, no, you're exaggerating. And they showed me actually. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And we almost, when I go back, will be the last week of teaching. And then we have the final exam. Then we start the new year, inshallah, in September. Every year we start in September. It's five subjects which every Muslim woman should know and every Muslim should learn, not only woman, which is basically aqidah. What do you believe in? How do you practice? Is your fiqh? And then, what do you know about the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? So we chose in the first year commentary of al-Nawawi, and in the second year, al-Shama'il, his life alayhi salatu wasalam. We teach tazkiyah, purification of the heart. Has to be. Otherwise, we are only know the external and the heart is somewhere else. SubhanAllah. And we do, and we do ulum al-Quran in the first year, and in the second year, we do tafsir. So I would absolutely, now there's a good news. We looked at, and how many women can do this for 9 months continuously? It's five subjects, it's 11 hours per week. So then we came up with, walillahi alhamd, we're going to start year of knowledge self-paced. So you do it your own way. We have the same material, the same thing, you choose. You want to finish in a year, you want to finish in 3 years, you want to take one subject, you want to take three. Yani the idea is, we women, and probably the men, there's a difference between men and women. And nobody is better than anyone. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The best person, the person of taqwa. But for women, there is a lot of, I have to use a very careful word. Because honestly, I mean, same thing. The men also has it, by the way. But in relation to education, there's a lot of obstacles. There are a lot of obstacles, meaning, I mean, I always say, married woman, five children, and she works. Where is the time? And she's a wife, and she's a daughter. Where the time is going to come from? Right? So we have to be really what? Realistic and practical. And as one of the rules of fiqh, that's, those of you who study, you probably know this, is مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّ لَا يُتْرَكُ جُلُّ. If you cannot do it all, don't leave it all. That's a very famous statement. So here you go. I keep an eye. So I would like everyone here is subscribe to our newsletter so you know what's going on. Subscribe to us as a mailing list. So once we open this, you will have it. And then also follow us on the social media. I know most of you follow me personally on social media. That's why you're here. Right? That's how I am known in Malaysia. I was like, how do they know about me? And the answer is social media. Walillahi alhamd. That's the positive of social media. But also I want you to follow on YouTube. How many of you saw the series we did in Ramadan? Show me hands. La. That's disappointing. Yeah, because it was very popular in the States, and usually Malaysia is ahead of the States, except in here. So go ahead to our YouTube channel, subscribe, it's free, and then you will see it all. Every episode, one of the ones you saw, is usually maximum is 8 minutes. Yeah, because we know how difficult it is to have a 30-minute lecture. So we actually divided it 6 to 8 minutes. That's the average. So follow us on social media. Follow us on the YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube. Make sure you get our newsletter so you will be up to date, because the Jannah Institute is actually, it's all over the world for every woman. We have students from everywhere. You name it. And we have from Australia, and we have from Indonesia. We have from Africa, definitely from Europe, definitely from the States and Canada. I just wanted to say this before I forget, because again, we all have to learn. I am a woman, firm believer in education. And actually, I learned this from my mother. She was a firm believer of women education. Not necessarily Islamic education, but you need to be educated. You need to know what is going on. You know why? Because your children, who are the first teacher of the children? With all respect to the fathers, it's usually the mother, because the mother spends more time with the child, period. And that's how Allah created us. So make sure you learn, let alone you learn your deen. Because when I'm going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not going to ask me, or He's going to reward me just because I'm a physician. Could be, it depends what I did with this MD degree. But when I know my deen, I'm going to stand in front of Him and I'm very proud and happy. And this is what we all need as women. Alhamdulillah. And now with all the technology, it's becoming much easier. Everything that becomes easy, it will be tough and difficult to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He's going to look at you and me and says, why didn't you learn? Why didn't you learn? It's all in your home. Who doesn't have an internet in this room? Who doesn't have a phone? A phone with internet, smartphone, let alone a computer. So why didn't you learn? And I always say to myself, these questions, I better be ready, because I have no excuse. So inshallah, if one thing came out from this 3 days program, that at least half of you, if not all of you, left with one intention, two intentions. One is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you do. And second is to become a woman of knowledge. Not a scholar, and don't do it to teach. If you are learning to teach, that's not for Allah. That's for you. Learn to get closer to Allah. And learn to fulfill the amana that Allah give you with your children or your family, including parents, including siblings. But be a person who carry the torch of light. Having said that, I was asked to talk about the woman of paradise. Now, of course, questions. Are we going to go to Jannah? I'm talking about women. I love inshallah. Okay. Let's rephrase it. Are there women in Jannah? So why this title? Of course I'm going to ask you. When you read this title, what came to your mind? I'm sorry, one person. Why this title? See, if you have an education, you will answer it right away. And the clue was in the video that was, obviously didn't pay attention, but that's okay. It was in there. So who are the women of paradise guaranteed? So let's learn this. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated this hadith. And I'll start with it and then take you through them. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas says, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَفْضَلُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, the best woman of Jannah. So that means they are in Jannah. But not only they are in Jannah, but they are the best of the woman. Like imagine this, we are all in Jannah, Ya Rabbi Ameen. And then there is more than 1,000 people in this room. And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam will say, there's 4 people, Ya Allah, 4 people of those are the best. Don't you want to be one of them? So he said 4. أَفْضَلُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He didn't say 4. The 4 is a weak hadith actually. But he mentioned their names. He said, أَفْضَلُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, the best women of Jannah are Sayyida Khadija bint Khuwaylid, wa Fatima bint Muhammad, wa Asiya bint Muzahim, wa Maryam bint Imran. So four of them. So we have, first is Khadija, Sayyida Khadija. Second is Sayyida Fatima, and Maryam bint Imran, and Sayyida Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Before I take you through it, through this, and this is what we're going to do, this the first session. I want each one of you, men and women, because this is also for men, not only for women. And I want you to say to yourself, write down on a piece of paper, why these four? Did you notice there is no Sayyida Aisha? Right? And two of them before Islam. Why? What is in them specifically that Ar-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course Allah taught him, that these four are the best? So number one, you have to ask this to yourself. This is how I learn. And I don't want to learn information. I want to say, okay, so now I learned Sayyida Khadija is one of the best women of Jannah. Like, why? And then that's the question. Can I be like her? I'm not going to be the wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. I wish, but it's not. But is there something in her or in Sayyida Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun? So completely two opposite, right? One is the wife of a prophet, the other one is a wife of a tyrant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed. Then you have the woman who has no husband. Isn't that interesting? Right? And then the daughter. The daughter, why Sayyida Fatima? Right? Why not Sayyida Umm Kulthum? Did I make you interested already? Alhamdulillah. Now you need to write down and tell me, what is it in your, whatever you know, why do you think these four? Do they all have the same one character, or four of them? Or each one of them has something unique that I may have it? This is the whole idea. Because I want to be in paradise, for sure. Do I have any of these qualities? Maybe all of them. So let's take one by one. So this hadith I shared with you is in Imam Ahmad. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, the best woman of Jannah, Khadija, Fatima, and then he said, Maryam bint Imran, and then Asiya bint Muzahim. So let's take first. What do you know about Sayyida Khadija? What do we know about Sayyida Khadija? Everybody knows. And you know what's the interesting? From this series, it was 30-day series. We covered 25 women. The highest views was which one? Sayyida Khadija. To my surprise, actually. I thought people will see more because we brought women, even contemporary, and especially women who people don't know. Right? To educate everybody. So I was like, you know, everybody knows about Sayyida Khadija. Subhanallah. So let's see. Who is she? What we all know, she's the first wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay. But there's other wives. But what was special about her? Woman, you need to know this. She was the first Muslim. She was the first Muslim, not Muslim woman. She was the first one who believed in Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. You all know the story, which you just heard it. So we're not going to repeat. She was the first. So she, the first wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. She was born, this is just for you, to learn 556 in Mecca. 556 in Mecca. And her father is Khuwaylid, of course. Her nickname. And I want everybody in this room, men and women, ask yourself this question. I took a group of youth, and again, I live in California, so hiking is something very popular there. So I took youth for hiking on a weekend. And they were like a 20s, that's the age. The youngest maybe was 16 or 17. Anyway, so we hiked, we reached to the top of the mountain. And for some reason, and everything Allah makes you see is a learning message. Remember yesterday? It's a text message from Allah. But Allah doesn't text the way we text. He sendeth in front of us. So as we were walking, there was a plague. There was a plague there. It says something about somebody who did something for the county. The issue is not who is this person, or the age, or what's written. So I kept reading, and then I looked at the girls, and I said, what do you think they will write on my grave and your grave after we die? My name and the day I was born and the day I died? And then, how many Muhammad, or how many Fatima, or how many Khadija? What is the unique thing you want people to remember you with? The mother, the wife, the abida, the worshipper. So Sayyidah Khadija, her nickname was At-Tahira, the pure. The pure. Subhanallah. Although, when she married the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, she was not virgin. She already married before, she was a widow. So this is nothing to do with the physical. This is something to do with spiritual, with Allah, and in her character. So her nickname is At-Tahira. And never, even before Islam, never worshipped idols. Never. And she was, again, married before Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. How many of you in this room is single parent? Alhamdulillah. May Allah make it easy for you. Ya Rabbi, Ameen. She was one of them. She was a single parent. See, we're going to share things that you say, oh, you know how people feel for themselves? They are single parent. And it was like, oh. Sayyidah Khadija was a single parent. Subhanallah. So she was a single parent, and she was rich. And I'm gonna emphasize on rich. She was probably the only wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam who was rich, well known, rich businesswoman. So now people come and tell you, you know, Islam doesn't give the woman their rights, so Islam tell women stay at home. I was like, really? Really? Okay, I'm not gonna talk about myself. The first wife of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, she was a businesswoman. Not a teacher, not a physician. Businesswoman, very tough. Right? Because it's mainly men-dominated profession, even these days. So she was a businesswoman, single parents, right? And she dedicated her life to these three. That's another message to everybody. She dedicated her life to three things. To her business, to her children, and to her home. So if you are a person taking care of your home, don't feel bad. Don't let anyone make you look down at yourself. I see this in my office, where the woman, I was like, you know, profession, what do you do? She says, oh, and this is the way it says, it said, I'm stay-home mom. And if she's feeling pity for herself, why? And I said, only? You're a mother. You're a mother. You know what mother is? You know what Islam, how Islam looks at mothers? Why do you feel sad for yourself? Right? And same thing is when somebody is studying Islamic studies or a Quran teacher and they start, you know, it's like, I'm only a Quran teacher. Only? Why? Because that's what they are making us feel. That studying Islamic studies, memorizing the Quran, teaching Quran, it's like how much they will pay you. So being a mother, she dedicated her life as a mother to her home and to her business. This is before she married the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And she was a strong woman and a woman of vision. Why I'm saying this? How did she get married to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? Come on, you all know the story. She saw him. She saw in him, not he looks, alayhi salatu wasalam, but was what attracted her to him was his character. So this is a woman of vision. And this is all for all the women here and for all the brothers here, is when you choose a spouse based on character, not wealth and money. Now she really liked because she dealt with him in business. And this is how you know people. You know, the famous line of Sayyidina Umar, when he was entering the masjid and he heard somebody praising someone, really praising. And you know Sayyidina Umar. So he said, do you know him well? He said, yeah. He said, have you traveled with him? Said, no. Have you dealt with him? هل تعاملت معه بالدرهم والدينار? Have you dealt with him with money? He said, no. He said, then you don't know him. You know people when it's absolutely when you travel, especially if you share a room with them. Because they can't make it up all the time. And when you deal with them with money. So she saw him, dealt with him, she liked him, and she sent, you know the story, sent someone to literally propose to him. And he said, will she take me? She was a woman of honor, well known in the city. Imagine like here in Kuala Lumpur, you have this one very well known, right? Respected, well known, older than him. And he said, well, Yani, she wants me, looks at me. And he's a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was not wealthy. Money is not the reason to get married. This is, everybody needs to learn this, because you will be miserable. You will be, it's a glamorous thing in the beginning. But unless that person that you are marrying is, alhamdulillah, has money, that's khayrun ala khayr. But that has to have more than just the money. So this is how she was. She was the first Muslim, and number two, the biggest supporter of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. That's how wives should be, and that's how husbands should be. It's a matter of support. Love in the beginning needed, but the love changes. It doesn't change to hate, but it changed to mawadda, solace. You miss them, but there's no this huge passion only in the beginning. So she was his main supporter. And she was the first and the only wife for 25 years. He didn't get married when she was alive, alayhi salatu wasalam. She gave him 4 children, 4 girls and 2 boys, 6. Do you know the names? Bismillah. Fatima, everybody knows. Sayyida Zainab. Don't call them by their first name. They're not your friends. They are the children of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Fatima, Ruqayya, and Sayyida Umm Kulthum. And then we have Al-Qasim, Ibrahim, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Abdullah, Tayyib. That's something for you to go and check. The name that he, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, is called the father of. Al-Qasim, Abul Qasim. That's one of his nicknames, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So she actually had 6 children with Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Ibrahim was not from her. You all know that. I hope. Otherwise, you absolutely have to see the series. Now it became an obligation. So yes, she had Al-Qasim, Abdullah, and then the 4 children, the 4 daughter. When she died, her home was purchased by Sayyidina Muawiyah, and there was a house, there was a mosque in there. She died in Ramadan. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes you on a Friday in Ramadan, and you're in Mecca, and you're in Ihram. That's death. Especially in the last 10 days, so millions will pray also. Honestly, millions will pray janazah. That's what she, and the year she died, they called the year of sadness. Because she passed away, and then the uncle of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. Now the most important thing, characters. This is just the history. Now let's come to the character. Before wealth, she was known to be noble. How many of you in this room, don't show me hands, when you go home and sit with yourself, again, brothers and sisters, you're going to say to yourself, you know, when my name is being mentioned, remember the plague? I'm going to be remembered as the noble woman. The rich, the beautiful, you know, the talented versus the noble. Which one is harder?